Lord, we just come to you today to worship you, Lord, to hear your voice, Lord, to feel you, to be challenged by you, to be encouraged by you, to be given hope by you, Lord, and to learn from you. Holy Spirit, would you come to this place, come to our hearts, come to our community, come to our church, come to our nation, come to the world. We love you, God. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, after a little bit of other things that have gone on, you know, whether it's a guest speaker that we had last week, Pastor Lee, just and having the Strawberry Festival community service and Father's Day and just like all these things, I don't ever want to be so legalistic or so concrete, sequential that I can't allow God to be flexible. So I say that because we're going to open up, go back to our study in Proverbs, right? And so we haven't visited in a while, and so we're coming back to it. And the last times we've been in this series, not just Proverbs is a really hard book to go verse by verse, because it just a verse apart, it can be totally different topics. And so I'm using, appreciating my friend Timothy Keller, the late Timothy Keller, to use just kind of like way he's associated all these different verses and Proverbs into topics. And so in this recent focus, we've looked at knowing others in friendships, right? You can know somebody by who they hang out with. You can, it's a good time to reflect for yourself. Who am I hanging out with? Who are my friends? And evaluate what friendships, good friendships look like, what bad friendships look like. And we looked about words, right? How you speak to people. Do you speak life or do you speak death? Are you critical or are you judgmental? You know, just ways to think. It's just that it's so important, our words in the way we speak, right? That we have the power of life or death. And it just, it's, I've spoken. I know, have anybody ever said anything you've regretted? Maybe once or twice. It's like, oh, I can't believe I said that. I think I shared a few Sundays ago about just the Lord speaking to me about irritation. You know, being irritated about stuff. And God is just like highlighting some things, because I realize that when I'm irritated, I don't love. And it as I've been more conscious of it, I've actually said less. My wife may not realize it, that she doesn't know how much I've improved. But I know, I'm sensitive. It's like, I know I shouldn't say that. It's like, and just being aware is like, why am I bothered by that? You know, and how do I get to respond in love instead? And it's one of those things. It's like anything you do in life, the very first point that you come to is becoming aware of something, because if you're not aware of something, you can't improve. But that's where the hard work starts. It's like, okay, now I'm aware of it. Lord, would you help me see it? Would you change my heart and my perspective about it? And so we talked about words being so important, and today we're going to talk about listening, that knowing others in how they listen. And I think about, you know, we knowing others is like, man, I want to know myself. It's not just for the other guy, but it's for me. Listen, we're gonna talk about 8 different ways that our listening is impacted. 8 different ways. And I know that's a lot. And it's not to give, you know, the more points, the better a pastor you are. But really, God is complicated. And as you unpack Proverbs, God has a lot of different things to say about how we listen. One of the first ways we talk about listening is to be a good listener is to be open to correction. Proverbs 12, verses 1 and 15. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Did you know that Bible says the word stupid? Whoever hates correction is stupid. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. You know, by just even defining searching for wisdom. The essence of searching for wisdom is that I want to learn and grow. There's things that I don't understand or even are aware of that unless I get advice and get confronted with stuff that I'm wrong about, I won't grow in wisdom. It's just learning that there's things that, right, you've seen maybe the illustration of like of the round circle of knowledge, right? You'd say, okay, draw a picture. How much of that pie of things that you know? You know, you say, you do a little sliver, you know. And some of you, if you're just really smart, you're like, oh man, I know, like of everything there is to know, I know a quarter of it. But for me, it's a sliver. And then you say, how much do you know you don't know? And so they're like, oh yeah, I don't know this much. And here's the other piece of it, is how much do you, how much of what there is to know that you don't even know you don't know? Which is the majority. And that place to be something that's open to correction is to say, man, there's a bunch of stuff I don't know. And really, the walk with Jesus, you know, part of discovering and growing and then impacting is really say, man, there's stuff I don't know. I am 66 years old, and I was in a group this week, and it was a bunch of guys, and we were talking about youth ministry. And my daughter made a comment, says, you guys are all just a bunch of middle schoolers. We're all grown men. And I'm saying, I looked at the other guy and I said, what's wrong with that? I said, I like being a middle schooler. I said, here, pull my finger. I was like, it's just like, you know, at least back then I didn't realize that there was some flaws in that. I guess in my maturity now I realize there's appropriate place to be a middle schooler and inappropriate ways. So I'm saying I've matured a little bit. But I just think we have to realize that, man, there's room for growth. There's room for growth. No one becomes wise unless they're open to examine. It's like, man, how am I missing the point here? What is it that I'm not getting that I need to get? And that correction can be painful, right? I've got a very high justice, and I hate to get in trouble. I hate to get in trouble. And so it's just like, you know, just like almost to a fault where I don't allow the full measure of what's being corrected to happen because I don't want to get in trouble. And then the reverse of that, then you're not risking, right? You're not stepping out to be in a dangerous place to say, okay, I may be wrong or I may miss this, but I'm going to try. And so there's two sides of it, wanting to be so right all the time or not make any mistakes to somebody who says, I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to try because that's the only place that we grow. We need to ultimately not just be challenged by people and circumstances, but we need to be challenged by God's word, right? To succumb to it and say, I remember reading, we talk about here, read the word, read the word. And I love somebody who's talking about just that transformation power of God's word is allow God's word to read you. So that as you read it, you're like, okay, what is this? Yeah, this guy was a terrible king. Or yeah, this guy is a knucklehead. Scott, how are you a knucklehead? Just like that guy where he had a lack of faith or he got pride, got in the way of what he did. He started well in the beginning, but he didn't finish so good. If you think you always know the best, what does this proverb say? You're stupid. And I kid about, you know, just that process of maturity to be able to say, I was wrong. I was wrong. And that, you know, you're right. That was insightful of you. I didn't pay attention. You know, to be able to say that pride gets in the way of us growing in understanding and wisdom. Can you think of a situation or belief that you had because of your culture and maybe the community or family that you grew up in that as you've come to know who Jesus is, that you've rejected. To say, that way I grew up, the way that was normal, I've discovered is not the way that God's word. Can you think of situations like that? I know I can. I think about just my dad was a silent person who didn't process out loud. And I find that I need to process out loud. I need to hear myself say things, because I say it out loud and then I go, that sounds really dumb. It sounded good up here till I said it and processed. It's like, not a good thing. Not only I talk about being open to correction, but really talking about to listen well is to be teachable. To be teachable. Proverbs 15, verses 31 to 33. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves. But the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. The one who's wise doesn't just listen, but seeks out and looks for that correction. The wise person discipline is a word that gets used a lot, and we always think of that as punishment maybe. But really the way the Bible uses discipline is training. That you discipline something to be trained. You discipline yourself to get up early or to go work out or to learn a new skill. You discipline. It takes putting priority changes to discipline, to be trained by it. The wise person who looks for discipline is looking, recognizing that he doesn't know it all. I just was hanging out with my middle school friend, and we were talking about something that, and he says, I know. And I'm thinking, you don't know. Your life is evidence you don't know. I know. Okay, you know. But to be teachable is to say, I don't know. I don't even know the things I don't know. You know, it is a humbling thing. Because I remember even being challenged in another message that I remember hearing years ago, was that sometimes the lesson we learn and God wants to teach us is from somebody we don't like. Or even somebody we don't respect. It's like, and God is using them to speak a truth to me. And it may be a truth they're not even practicing in their own life. And God is saying, I'm using them. Can you be teachable and learn from somebody you don't respect? Or maybe you don't appreciate? Or maybe you don't get along with? And yet God is speaking his truth to you. Am I going to be teachable so that it comes from a child? You know, we tell our kids, it's like the same Holy Spirit that's in me is in you. That as I challenge you to walk, I give you permission to challenge me. If there's something you see in my life, we tell our kids, would you tell me? Because Holy Spirit talks to you too. And that means I have to be teachable. When my sixth grade kid comes up and tells me something that he doesn't see that it's not right about my life, I could say, just be quiet, go to your room. Or to say, let me think about that. Let me think about that. Or yeah, you're right. God's been talking to my heart about that too. Will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? You know, to acknowledge that, to affirm that, and to show what being teachable looks like. When a person who's not teachable, man, they ignore the training. They ignore it. There's training happening all the time, discipline happening that God wants to train us and have us grow. Is like, if I'm not open to it, I'm not going to receive what God is giving. It's interesting, as we pay attention to the training that God has, our view of ourselves gets more and more accurate. The reality is that you and I think we are better than we are. We think that, I mean, we would all say, hey, I'm not perfect, but I'm not that bad. Right? We all think that we got it going on better than we do. It's just human nature to say, the reality is, I got less going on than I think I do. I got hard heart in areas that I'm not even aware are areas that I need to be paying attention to. Humility is the right view that you don't know it all and that you need to grow and learn. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. It's interesting when you think about teachability. Really, Jesus made a connection with teachability and repentance. Matthew 4:17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all perish. You know, who was he speaking to? A lot of pointed stuff was to the Pharisees who knew the law, the first 5 books of the Bible, backwards and forward. They could talk for hours about a topic, and yet they were unteachable because they knew it all. They were telling Jesus all the points. They said, you're messed up, Jesus. You don't have it right. You have no idea what is going on. I'm thinking, God himself in bodily form is in front of them, and they're telling him he's wrong. That's an unteachable heart that we all can be guilty of. And the reality is, say, man, there's some stuff I need to repent of. God, would you give me a heart that repents, a heart that's willing to change, a heart that's willing to learn? It's in humility, in the humility of repentance, that we gain salvation and become children of God. It's the ultimate, I was wrong, repentance. To say, man, I was born wrong. You didn't have to teach me to sin. I came out of the chute. From the moment I could start to exercise my will, I had a default to sin. And say, God, man, I got a long road. Some of us have a longer road to haul than others because of how we were raised. Or maybe you came to Jesus late in life. That at the point that we come to Jesus and submit to him, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. God wants to redeem that life. When you think about humility comes before honor. Ask a few close friends of yours, am I teachable or am I just opinionated? Jackie, you can talk to me later. Am I teachable? Because everybody here has an opinion, right? You can think of somebody right now that, man, they got an opinion about everything. I've never heard them say I was wrong or would you forgive me? When you talk about teachability, there are degrees of teachability. Proverbs 17:10, chapter 19, verse 25, and chapter 21, verse 11. A rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes a fool. Flog a mocker, and the simple will learn prudence. Rebuke the discerning, and they will gain knowledge. When a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. By paying attention to the wise, they get knowledge. When it talks about, I don't know if you guys, if you're familiar with the Bible, it talks about 40 lashes. The law said, don't give somebody more than 40 lashes, because you will kill them. The goal is to train them, discipline them, not kill them. And so we're talking about this 100 really as hyperbole or exaggeration. Say, man, you smack a guy, a fool, 100 times, and they won't learn. No matter how serious the consequence, the character doesn't change. They don't learn anything. No matter how many jobs they lose, no how many friendships that get train wrecked, know how many relationships that are damaged, no matter how many times they go to jail, they just never change. It's like, what is going on? How many times does it take? We think of, you know, really that place where we blame other people. Man, it's everybody else's fault. If it wasn't for these circumstances, I wouldn't have chose that. You know, I kidded, you know, you about it where we could say, and I've heard people say, or maybe you said ourselves, man, if you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have done this. If you would behave yourself, I would behave myself. You know, you think about those kind of things in relationships. We talk about teachability is needed for degrees of teachabilities. Anybody have the look that you can give your kids and they know that to get it together, right? My dad had a crooked smile that we'd all laugh at. Well, you wouldn't laugh. You knew that when the crooked smile came, he was starting to get upset. And you knew whatever you were doing to stop doing. That's all that's good. Sometimes kids, that degrees of teachability, all you do is give the look. And they just, whoop, get back in line. Somebody else you have to say something to, and they get in line. Some kids you have to do a timeout. And some maybe you have to spank, and then they get it. Or lose some privilege that they have, and then they get it. I just think about that degrees of teachability is that to be teachable, to be somebody who responds to the training that God has for them. And you think about, you know, you just even the children that I wanted to be somebody who saw somebody get into trouble and learn from that, right? To say, I don't want to get in trouble, so what did they do? I'm not doing that. So as you look at those degrees of teachability, here's my question. What kind of child are you? Do you just need the look? Are you somebody that needs the 2x4? Number four way that we can look at listening. To be a good listener is to get all the advice you can. Proverbs 11:14. Chapter 24, verse 5 and 6. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. The wise prevail through great power, and those who have knowledge muster their strength. Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. And I think what the advantage of listening to advisors, it prevents impulsivity. You know, just... I remember early on when my wife and I first got married that I had the salesman come to the door, and I just couldn't believe what a great deal this guy had for me. They had a truck, freezer truck, and he had a bunch of meat on there that he didn't sell, but he would give me a great deal on it. And being the guy who did not shop for meat for a house, I obviously knew what a great deal that was. And so I'm like, well, yeah, for steaks, you know, ground meat, man, this is stuff we can't afford. And so I bought it, and my wife came home, and I said, you would not believe what a great deal I got. And so she said, Scott, this is 3 times as much as we pay for meat at the grocery store. Like, don't. We instantly, well, there was some lots of rolling eyes and me feeling really dumb. That we said, I am never going to go off on my own again. We just made a rule. We said, A, we will just tell people we never make decisions at the door unless it's something we're already have been looking for. I wasn't looking for a deal on steaks. That wasn't what we're going to do. And number two is, we would never buy something for a home without talking it over with each other. Advice is super important. It's really not just about getting the opinion of one person, right? Because sometimes the people we ask are people, our friends who have the same experience we do. We ask them, really, we're just wanting them to confirm that we're doing the right thing, right? And they know that. They're like, yeah, I don't know if you want to hear this truth. That's really a stupid idea. You're like, man, do I want to lose my friendship over this? And so we ask people who maybe they're being honest, but it's based on their own experiences. And they think like you, and maybe they have the same background. And so their conclusions are the same. To seek out advice is really to seek out advice that will challenge you. People who don't have the same experience as you. To say, tell me your take on this. Do you think if this problem came up, how would you handle it? Because the idea is to get as many different views as you can so that you have as many different options to choose from. It's not just to make delayed decisions, because some of us, we shop and we look and then we never make a decision. But it's really about getting advice and looking at all the viewpoints and being willing to be challenged. Because I don't know about you, but I hardly ever make a wrong decision. And it's that kind of attitude is going to keep me from being challenged by anybody, because I hate to be told I'm wrong or that I'm stupid or that I missed it. But being seeking advisors, being willing to say, I'm missing something. It's not if I'm missing something. It's where am I missing something? To go and get advice and to choose people that will challenge you to think outside the box, outside of your experience, outside of your solutions, and even foresee a problem that you hadn't considered of. Here's my question. Do you ask advice to confirm your decision or to challenge your decision? The fifth way that we can be a good listener is allow our experiences to correct you. Proverbs 27:22. Though you grind a fool in a mortar, grinding them like grain with a pestle, you will not remove their folly from them. We not only seek advice from people, but really we want to seek advice from the experiences we have. I am the general contractor for our parking lot out here, which I love. I love projects. I love interaction with contractors. And we got bids from several different contractors, one that did pieces of it and one that did all of it. And I was able to say, okay, you're going to do this part, and I want this contract to do this, and came up with a price that was a lot better than all together. And I was like, right on, that's a good start. Well, the problem with that is that I didn't have a good handle on the pieces of it. And as time went on, why it's going a little slow is because I didn't foresee the questions that were getting asked. I didn't fully understand them. And so it's one of those classics. I thought they were going to do it. No, I thought they were going to do it. And so I didn't have the wherewithal. I do now. Experience. I know now for the next parking lot I do in a general contract for, to be able to ask the questions and say, because they were warning signs, right? There were warning signs that hindsight, right? I should have followed up over here, because they were asking questions and I didn't know, have the wisdom that I do today because of my experience. To be able to say, teachable, say, I could have said, oh, those guys are knuckles. They're just trying to get out of their work. No, they're trying to stay in business and make money on a job. You need to manage that better. You needed to pay attention, to allow experience to correct you. Suffering, in difficulties, talked about being ground with a mortar and a pestle. It hurts. It's like there's some things in life that you experience that you feel like you're ground up to nothing. You're like, I can't stand this anymore, but God wants us to grow. Because growing and maturing is not automatic. It's something through suffering that we have to experience. I had to experience that. You couldn't tell me that. I could read it on a piece of paper. I could have somebody else tell me, but it wasn't until I experienced it that now I got ears to hear. Better ears to hear and listen when circumstances come up. And just think about why people experience all kinds of adversity. It's like, why is it for some people adversity causes them to run away from God? And yet adversity in other people causes them to run towards God. To recognize that, man, there are reasons. I just can go back to, does God love you? Every one of us has to come to a firm understanding as to the answer to that question. Does God love me? You know, we can say, oh yeah, God is love. But we have to know it in our heart that God loves us so that regardless, and we say, is God in control? We're like, yeah, he's in control. He made the world. To know that God loves you and know that he's in control changes how you and I experience the difficulties in our life. Because if I believe God loves me, that means that I will trust him even in circumstances that I don't understand. And I think that's kind of what Kristen was talking about in that song. It says, follow me. It says, to follow Jesus even when I don't understand, even when it's painful. To be able to say, God, I trust you even when I don't understand. And I would say that's a definition of faith, right? Faith that says I not just trust you, God, fully, but I trust you when I don't understand. We talk about that adversity that we face, that most basic wisdom that comes from begins in trusting in God's character, that what he allows is ultimately for our joy and growth. And it is hard when you're going through it, because just like you're trying to tell your high school kid who's taking math class, who he says, I will never use this. I don't care how you figure the area of a circle. It's like, trust God. Can you trust God? Can you trust me? That you may not use that, but it's for your benefit. Something you don't understand now, but it will grow you as you walk out those things. He's not going to withhold anything good from you. Do you still trust God even when you don't understand your suffering? That's really what throws a lot of people for a loop. You know, whether it's a loss of a grandparent or a loss of a parent or a friend or circumstances that they really, really, really want and it's who they are, and then it doesn't happen. And then they say, God, you don't love me. There is no God. Or can you say, you know what? God is growing me. I told you before, pastoring is hard. Pastoring is really hard. Almost every single one of you that's sitting here were not here 12 years ago when I came to this church. I can look at it one way and say, God, you are a terrible pastor. You scoot everybody away. Or you could say, God, you're growing me. I just get to trust you. And I don't have to understand it. But I do know I'm a different person because of it. And I pray that, you know, that you would sense God's presence in me. Not perfection. Not genius. But God's love in me. That I'm more patient because I've allowed adversity and hard things to grow me. And I pray that for you. That is what the world needs to see. That it isn't politics. It's not money. It's not even poverty. But it's God's Spirit that changes us and grows us. Listening. Too late to listen. Proverbs 29:1. Whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Anybody here know anybody who's stubborn? Have you ever been stubborn? And talk about, you know, what good is an ox or a horse that you can't redirect? It's no good. And the similarity here is talking about people that a good person, you know, who thinks that they're wise in their own eyes is not a wise person. It's when they're unyielding to the lessons of life or to be teachable, you know, there's a danger in that, you know, and it's not like there is no point of return. And we quote 1 John 1:9 often. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The issue is not a God issue. It's never too late for God. He will always forgive. The problem is us, that it can be too late for us. What I'm talking about is that when we say no to God, our heart begins to get hard because we don't recognize the change that needs to happen. And it can be too late for us because at every point that we don't walk into God's conviction, our heart begins to get hard. I liken it to, a piece of it is, you know, you can walk into a house that maybe you bought and you're like, oh man, this wallpaper's got to come off. Or these cabinets are atrocious. We need to paint them or take them, rip them out. Then you come into the house, you move in, and maybe because of money, maybe because of a new job or something, you don't have time to do it. And over time, you don't even notice the wallpaper anymore. In fact, you just take the cabinet door off of the cabinet because it's falling off and you just leave it off. And then your friends come over or family comes over and says, man, this wallpaper's sick. Not in a good way. This is really bad. And all of a sudden you're like, I remember thinking that when I moved into this place. And over time, you just lose sensitivity to it and you recognize it. And same thing with sin. If we don't deal with it immediately when God gets conviction of it, we get lax about it, get used to it being in our lives. And then it becomes too late. Why is it too late? It's not too late for God. It's too late for our heart because we don't respond to the conviction that God has us. And the stepping stones to maturity, stepping stones to growth, stepping stones to who he called us to be. Have you ignored opportunities for spiritual growth that are now gone? Or you no longer have a desire to pursue? That's what happens. When we don't respond to God's conviction, when he's talking about us, that's why I tell you guys, if God's speaking to you, whether it's this message or another message or a circumstance or a Bible reading, share it with somebody. Because if you don't share it with somebody, it will only diminish. When you share it with somebody, you acknowledge that God's talking to you, and it takes a higher place. It increases in impact rather than lessens by not sharing it. Number 7 is, don't be a donkey. Don't you love that? I remember when my dad, he was not a cusser, but he got so mad at my sister who in high school that he says, told her not to be an ass. And I was in middle school and I said, Dad, you swore. He says, why? He says, that's in the Bible. If you look at King James, it says, it doesn't say donkey. Says ass. Don't be a donkey. Don't be a donkey. Proverbs 26:3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of fools. How do you get a horse to do what you want that's belligerent, or a donkey that's stubborn? It takes a whip or a bridle, those things that you call to control. We talk about what is it that takes a fool. It's sad. To me, it's like bowling. You ever go, they have those bumpers you pull up? When you I'm embarrassed sometimes. They ask, do you want the bumpers up? I'm like, no. What do you think, I'm a kid? It's like, but with those bumpers up, can you not hit a pin down? Guaranteed. Just a little kid, little four-year-old can drop the ball down the little ramp and guaranteed he hits balls down. But what discipline is that in there? It's all guided. And with a fool, that's the only way that you can get them to do the ones by controlling the situation, putting bumpers in their lives so that they can't not do anything else. God calls us to not be donkeys, not be controlled by circumstances or rules, but be controlled by His Spirit. Be living in wisdom and following Him. Psalms 32:9, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit or bridle, or they will not come to you. All of us have circumstances that we're stubborn about. And God, in reminder, say, God, Lord, help me recognize my stubbornness. You know, so that this is the only way it can be. And saying, hey, let's talk about it. Is there a better way to do this than the way I'm thinking? To say, I don't want to be stubborn. I don't want to be so locked into my ways of doing things or my own idea of what a wise decision is that I won't listen to somebody else. There are times that I was not a good listener and I needed that 2x4 of wisdom. And I'm thankful that the Lord who loves me brings those situations. But as soon as we recognize our stubbornness, say, God, would you forgive me for being so belligerent or so prideful or so unwilling to change that I wouldn't listen to your wisdom? What lessons have you learned from the hard knocks of life? Rather than, if you could go back, would you rather learn from obedience or from life's hard knocks? Then number 8, the final one, we'll highlight listening that heals. Proverbs 20:30, blows and wounds scrub away evil, and beatings purge the inmost being. I am so thankful, and I just, for the discipline and the blows I've received in life. Because without them, I would have never changed. Without those humiliating situations, I wouldn't have changed. You know, as I look back at those hurtful things of training, some were deserved. Some were deserved. Some weren't deserved. But they both benefited me. The ones that were deserved, somebody said, note to self, don't do that again. Pay attention, right? The ones that weren't deserved created me a compassion and a sympathy for other people and say, there's other people suffering in ways that they don't deserve. To recognize, not just assume, that just because somebody's going through a hard time or situation that that's their bed they made. Instead of having compassion, that may not be the result of their decision. That may be a result of something that's undeserved. Some wounds taught me that all wounds aren't just. And it's just, I think about, you know, the things that it's taken God more than one time to teach me, okay, more than two times, more than three. I think each time it really has caused me to go back and go deeper into my soul. It's like, what is really going on here? Why does this keep coming up as an issue? Why is this so painful? And if it wasn't for those repeated disappointments or repeated, I would have been in the false impression that I've got it all figured out. that for me, I call it the formula or the recipe, that you love Jesus with all your heart, that you obey what he tells you to do, that you repent when you see something's wrong, and then the angels sing and everything goes amazingly smoothly. It doesn't, does it? To be able to trust God and say, I'm going to trust you to bring healing to my soul, even when things don't go like my formula says they should. Even when I don't understand. Because God is about our heart change. He's not about making our life perfect. And if it resulted in perfection in this world, you and I would not look to Jesus for salvation. We would think that we got it all handled here. This gives us everything we want. And so I personally am super thankful that things didn't work out like I wanted or hoped. Not that those things were bad, but it would have created a false god in me, thinking that that was what I was going for, when Jesus was going for a change in here. I pray that you and I would be great listeners. Are you listening? Do you have friends who are listening? Listening to the discipline of the Lord. Listening to wisdom. What kind of listener are you? What kind of listener am I? I want to be a listener that is changing and growing and humble and never is under the false impression that I've got it figured out. I want to have the two things I said. God loves me. I want to have that figured out, if nothing else. And that he's in control, even though I don't understand it. I just pray that for you. You know, that can be just that simple truth can be a game changer in your walk, in your faith walk. To say, God, would you help me trust you even in things I don't understand? Would you help me trust you even in life's pain? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for my discipline. Lord, because I know that I would not be who I am today, Lord, and I know the pain that I'm experiencing today, Lord, I want to submit to it. I want to practice what I preach. I want to be a good listener to your word, a good listener to your Holy Spirit, a good listener to experiences, to be teachable, to be, just need the look, just the look of your Holy Spirit in my eyes, to straighten me out. Lord, and I pray for our church. I pray for folks that might be listening online. Lord, that you would help us all to be better listeners to your word. Better listeners to your teaching us, to wanting to grow us. Lord, better at trusting you. Better at having faith in the invisible. The invisible God who loves us with an unfailing love. I just lift up the folks in this service this morning. Lord, if you, anybody here, you recognize that you're on the border of becoming bitter because of difficulties. That you have become hard-hearted towards difficult circumstances that have zapped your ability to love God or love the people around you. Just in the moment of this room, if that's you, you can just look up at me. As my prayer is that in those difficult circumstances, that you're facing, that you would grow in trusting that God loves you regardless of those circumstances, that He wants to grow His relationship with you and your trust in Him. Lord, I thank You for these people that recognize, Lord, that the difficulties of life is robbing Your joy that You have for them. Lord, recognize, Lord, I pray that if there's some understanding to be had, some experiences, maybe some, there's been some donkey in them that needs to be humbled. Maybe there's some learning that needs to take place, or maybe there's some things that they have to trust in Your hand, not able to understand. Lord, that they would release those things to You to grow, to learn, and to trust. In Jesus' name, amen.